Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 18, and if you know anything about U.S. law, that means we are now adults, we can smoke, and we can vote. So watch out, world, we are now fully fledged adults on the internet.
And get married without parental permission.
Oh, there we go. Can you even do that? Oh, you can even get your driver's license without really having to take the class. You just gotta go and do the test.
And join the military.
Oh, you can do that too. What else can we do? What else is it that you look forward to?
Oh, you don't have to be emancipated. You can legally live on your own.
Oh, yes. Watch out, internet. We're going to party hard. Only, three more episodes and we'll be drinking.
You know, that could be fun. Like on our 21st episode, make that like our night episode.
Oh, we should do that. We should totally do that. That'd be so awesome.
It's our 21st birthday, yo! Shots! No, I'm too young, too old for shots. I can't do it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, but you know what else you can do at 18?
Oh, what can you do at 18?
You can legally buy an M-rated game without your parents, like Mortal Kombat X. As the commercials have told me, it's not Mortal Kombat 10, it's Mortal Kombat X.
Oh, okay.
For X for extreme.
Whatever. Extreme.
I don't know what the X is for. I mean, because it was kind of rebooted, but then, it was rebooted, right? And so then I'm, talking about it on Action Trip, how it's been rebooted. So, and I read somewhere that it's been, the lore beforehand has essentially been retconned.
Oh.
For, for the last Mortal Kombat game, that was on Vita. But then this guy on Action Trip told me, he's like, well, no, actually, it hasn't been retconned. This is just a separate timeline. I'm like, okay, you're killing me, man. I can handle retconning more than I can handle timelines. Because that's usually in comics, I'm like, I'm out. Screwing with the timeline.
Yeah.
Alternate dimensions. I'm out. Yeah. Although the best thing I heard was when I reviewed Mortal Kombat 10 was because I was like praising the story. And someone coming down there is like, actually, Injustice's story was better than this. This took a step back. I'm like, wait. You're talking about a game that took in an alternate dimension, to kill each other is a better story than this. We can't be friends.
Fucking comic book stuff. Jesus Christ.
Well, I was reading the Injustice comics because I didn't play the game, but I was reading the comics, and I think I read the first four comics because I think you started reading them too, right? Couple of them, and it's the first one's totally takes your breath away that you can't believe that happened at the end, and then I kind of fell out of reading it because I got caught up with other things, and then one of my friends who's totally hardcore reading it, she's like, oh, by the way, this is an alternate dimension, so just go ahead and cancel your subscription. I'm like, yep, I'm out.
Oh, fucking alternate dimensions. It's like the cheapest fucking hook that they use.
It's not like that, but she said this is an alternate dimension on Earth too. I'm like, oh, I'm out. So two things I hate in DC. Earth 2, alternate dimensions.
Oh.
In Marvel Universe, it's alternate dimensions and Wolverine.
Yeah. Good Lord. So.
But this is not. Okay, so this is alternate timeline. Whatever. I'm going to say it's retconned for my own personal sanity. Let's talk the story of Mortal Kombat because you have finally finished it, right?
Yes. I beat it last week.
Yes.
Thursday or Friday, something like that. So if you don't want to hear anything about the MKX story mode, you can
just pause this and wait this out till you finish it.
Yeah. Come back.
Yeah, come back in a couple weeks or whatever. Maybe just not play all the towers today and just go finish the story. Because it really doesn't take very long if you actually it also depends on the difficulty, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a great way to earn coins, actually.
Yeah, it really it is a great way to earn the coins. But so not knowing anything from the last game, I do admit I was very what for most of it. And my friend Matt Green, he's like, I don't know how you understand what's going on without playing the previous game. And I found as, because I felt there was enough flashbacks to kind of explain things, and Johnny Cage likes to talk, and so he would kind of, I felt he kind of explained things a little bit as well. I think it was about halfway through, I was like, okay, now I'm seeing where this is going.
Yeah, by the time you're done, I mean, they do a really good job with, like, 25 years ago, 5 years ago, this is what happens.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you don't, I mean, you understand that, you know, Liu Kang is dead and now he's evil, and they kind of show you how that, you know, everybody's talking about their death. And while yet you don't see how they die, you do see kind of what causes them to come back to life. And I was like, okay, so, you know, I didn't play the story mode in Mortal Kombat 9. So I had, yeah, like all of this, I was like, oh, so all these people are dead. Okay, whatever. And this is how they came back to life. Oh, okay, that's fine. And everybody's blaming Raiden. And I was like, obviously something really fucked up happened in the last storyline, and it kind of makes me want to go, you know, try to force my PS3 to work and just get that bit of the storyline. But at the same point, I never felt like I was missing a huge chunk of anything. I mean, yeah, you don't have those backstories, but at the same point, it's not, they didn't make it so integral that you had to know it.
Now, I do wonder if you've never had any Mortal Kombat experience before, if that would have been a detriment, because you might have been, well, who is this guy? What does this matter?
Oh, yeah, you definitely would have been. If you have never played a Mortal Kombat game, because they're, you know, Sindel and I forgot, Cabal, you know, you really wouldn't know those characters. You wouldn't understand the correlation that Liu Kang has with Raiden. You wouldn't understand the significance of it. You wouldn't understand why, you know, because you have Kotal Kahn, but he's a successor after Shao Kahn. And if you do have to know some of the lore. Otherwise, it's going to be one of those games where it's just a bunch of names and locations thrown around, and you have no fucking clue of what the hell's going on or why any of these characters matter.
And I was kind of that same way because, as we discussed several times, my experience has been since the early 90s, I think, because I recently scanned in all instruction booklets and I saw that the first Mortal Kombat on the Game Gear came out in 1993. So I am well removed from the universe. So I was kind of piecing what I remembered into it. So we get to the Outworld chapter, which I think was chapter 2, because I believe... Yeah. It's Johnny Cage is 1, and then Kotal Kahn is 2. And first I'm like, well, who's Kotal Kahn? Well, you know, there's going to be new characters. Maybe they're new to the universe. Maybe they're just new to me, whatever. And the Melina comes in, and I remembered her, because she was one of Shao Kahn's assassins. And she's trying to overthrow him. I'm like, well, what happened to Shao Kahn? Is he dead? Like, what happened? I know that he was being punished in Mortal Kombat 2 for failing the combat from the first one, but is he gone? What happened to him? Who's Kotal Kahn? And he was talking about, you know, that Melina was, she was in prison and someone, was it Kano? Kano got her out. So I was like, well, I kind of remember hearing the name Kano from the first Mortal Kombat, but I don't really know who he is. And, you know, and then, like, I'm hearing about Kung Lao. Like, I have no idea who Kung Lao is because when I found out from scanning instruction booklets, he's mentioned in instruction booklets, of all things. He and Kano are both mentioned in there, even though they're not in either one of the games. So it's like this little thing that was just kind of hidden in there. So I had no idea who that is. I'm wondering where Liu Kang is, what happened to him. And I'm seeing Scorpion is a good guy. I was like, or Sub-Zero is a good guy. I was like, well, I thought that Sub-Zero was the bad guy and Scorpion was the good guy. I really kind of got thrown around from trying to piece together what my understanding was. And then they were talking about Serena. And they're like, oh, I remember you. Like, yeah, I have no idea who you are, chick. Apparently you're pretty important, but I have no idea who you are. So all that was going on. But then I felt like about halfway through, or the Sub-Zero Scorpion chapter is when everything kind of fell into place for me. and everything kind of made sense. And then even the next chapter, I think it was Raiden's chapter, when he went back in time to show Liu Kang and Kung Lao before they were turned into Revenants. So, it was a lot of, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I'm really used to that in games because I play a lot of JRPGs, so I'm just going to keep on going through this. And then it all kind of fell in place. And I thought it was very well done. Now, going back to what we said earlier, I confirmed with Chris that if you don't know the characters, it may not mean as much to you, because, like, the whole thing with Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge, because you knew way back from the first Mortal Kombat that Scorpion was brought back to life after the Lin Kuei killed him and his family. And so he's gone into the combat to the tournament to destroy the Lin Kuei and particularly Sub-Zero. And then you find out in here, like, Sub-Zero, like, you know, of course, they're no longer wearing their masks. They won't even call Sub-Zero anymore. They're like, no, call me by, I forget their names now. Like, Sub-Zero is Liang something, and Scorpion is Hanzo Hisashi. But he's no longer a Revenant. And so they sit down and have tea. It's kind of cute. Have tea. And Sub-Zero explains everything about how that it was Quan Chi all along. Of course, I was the whole time going, who the fuck is Quan Chi? Why is this guy important? That it was him who killed off Scorpion's family and then brought Scorpion back from the dead and told him that it was the Lin Kuei that started this whole thing between each other. And so when that happened, that was a huge, oh my gosh, this is so great. It's like what we always wanted to know. Like, now they're going to be best friends and hug.
They pretty much did.
Yes. Well, they did the bro hug, you know, the whole fist thing. And yes, we're best friends now. It's all good.
Yeah.
but let's talk about who was killed. Because I couldn't believe that they, you know, and I don't mean like, and I mean killed as in they can't come back. Like, they're not Revenants either.
Who did they kill?
Melina. That was disgusting.
You really didn't like seeing the bugs just crawling all over her face? I mean, no.
And when Jackie Briggs said, well, I don't want it. I'm never going to eat again. I'm like, I'm with you, hun. I'm not going to eat again either. Oh, that was so meh. How could they have killed her?
I was like, when I saw Devorah walking up to her to give her a kiss, I was like, what is this? Are we going to, like, make out here? We get a little... Is there like this a hidden
kind of
scene in here? Am I gonna get some bug booby going on? Oh no, you're just gonna fill her with bugs and they're gonna eat her face off. Okay. And came out through her gut too. They went down through the intestines too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Ate her from the inside out. I mean, it's the looks on the special forces face, all four of them. It's like, yep, don't even picture that. Just frame that. Yep, that's exactly how I feel right now too. That was pretty horrible. And Quan Chi couldn't believe that, because I mean, really, when that happened and Shenok came back, I was like, well, he's gonna put, you know, Quan Chi's head back on any minute. He's gonna put it back on. Nope, he just like, oh, it's a shame he couldn't live to see this moment. Oh well, whatevs.
You know, he had Baraka, and I know this because it was, you know, a lot of us were hoping that Baraka would be in this game, and we were hoping that it would also be in the, you know, the combat pack or whatever they're calling that.
You know, the weird thing is, I do not remember Baraka's death. Who killed him?
It was the only fatality that you could do. It was Devorah, and I think it's one of her weird legs, and she
went
right through his heart.
Dang.
Yeah.
Makes me want to replay that chapter because I don't remember that.
It's like chapter 3, I think.
But you know, I may not have known who he was.
Yeah, he's the guy with the big long teeth and the spikes coming out of his hands.
Yeah, you know, there were other guys that looked like that too, like the other minions. So yeah,
there's a bunch of minions, and then Baraka was the he was like one of the big generals leaders. And
I bet I just thought he was just one of like the general of the minions, and so he's dead. Okay, who cares? Let's move on.
he was my jam back in the day.
See, I never knew Baraka.
Mortal Kombat
2. Although I watched the Honest Trailers, and of course I forgot they had him in there as Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Yeah. You know.
But, okay, so the ending made me unbelievably sad, because that's one reason why I didn't really want to, really didn't want Quan Chi to be dead, because even Raiden said it. He's yelling it at Scorpion. He's like, we can't kill him or we can't save anybody else. And of course, Scorpion's been, it's like, I don't care. He killed my family. And
oh, no, Raiden had no idea. At this point, Raiden didn't know, because Raiden was off in his own little thing. And he's like, yeah, we can bring them back.
Well, somebody told him. Somebody was yelling at Scorpion, don't kill him.
Oh.
Because we need him to save the others. And Scorpion was pretty much, I don't care type thing. And so, therefore, I can't believe we didn't get to save everybody. So, I was like brokenhearted that, okay, I don't know Smoke, so fuck that guy. I don't know him. But I was just brokenhearted that Liu Kang and Kung Lao and Kitana, because Kitana was my jam back in World Combat 2, are all undead evil minions in the Netherrealm. And then Raiden decides to go all, that's it! I am tired of being the good guy! I'm going to stomp on all your asses! You come near Earth again! It's like, okay, what happened to, like, nice blue-eyed Raiden? He's now pissy.
Yeah, when he drops, at the very end, when he...
He drops Shinnok's head.
And he's got the fucking yellow eyes of death, and you're just like, oh, God, Raiden, you're like, all kinds of pissed off badass now. I want more story now, because I want to see what happens. I want to play as badass Raiden now.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of people that were complaining on Twitter. They're like, well, the story can't go anywhere from here. I'm like, what are you talking about? The story can go a million ways from here.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I mean, just because Shinnok, he's not dead, because as Raiden said, he's an elder god, but, you know, his head is effectively separated from his body. He dropped the head off another realm. Who knows where the body is? And the amulet's been taken away, and, you know, you still got the unrest going on in Outworld, even though, yes, Melina is dead and all that, but there's still, like, you know, the whole thing between now Devora and Kotal Kahn, because she betrayed him. So what is he going to do? Or is he going to, maybe he'll attack Earthrealm? Because Raiden just issued his threats to Netherrealm. He didn't go to Outworld and issue his threats. So, you know, Outworld could still come into Earthrealm. There's still that whole dynamic of how's everyone going to treat Hanzo Hisashi Scorpion now, because he kind of fucked things over. What is Raiden really going to do? There's so many ways this could go, and I've like not been so excited for a Mortal Kombat game since I played this on my Game Gear.
Well, they also talked about, because all this happens, none of this happens during a tournament. It all happens either if I remember right, they're all talking about it happening before a tournament. So, I mean,
yeah, there could still be a tournament.
Yeah, you still have a tournament, and really, if you were following the lore, right, like, one of the realms has to win X amount of tournaments in order to take over the other realm. And we really haven't had that yet. We've had all these tournaments up to this point. And this game happens with no tournament. They're always referring to a tournament, but it doesn't actually take place at a tournament. So the other thing is like, they have all those portals, right? So that's how you get back and forth. And those portals just seem to like fucking just pop up wherever the hell it was. Very convenient for them to pop up. And
oh yeah.
You know, and then when you saw Shinnok go into that shrine and then his blood red cloud takes over the world, you know, it's like you could easily have somebody come through a portal and jump in there, and there's lots of places this story can go.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're nearing the end of life for Johnny Cage based off of the age that they showed him this time. I think that's why we had...
He was very gray.
I think that's why we had their kids starting to come in too. So you had Jax being like, he's all retired working on a fucking farm. Right?
He's gone all Dom, dude. Yeah,
he's fucking working on a tractor when you first see him and you're just like, what the hell? So I think I like where they're kind of, it sucks because a lot of us grew up playing a lot of these characters, but at the same point, you gotta evolve and you're gonna lose some of them. So I can easily see Johnny Cage being phased out in, you know, like the next iteration, depending on how they go with their alternate dimensions, whatever. But I think we're done seeing Johnny Cage. I think Jax is pretty much on his way out. And Sony, I think you got another game or two left in her because she's still relatively young looking and she's, you know, commander of an army. So,
yeah.
A general, whatever they
call it. Well, I could see her taking a more step back approach, you know, like as commander, you know, issuing orders to Cassie and Jackie. But what I see happening is that it becomes more focused around Cassie, Jackie, Kunjin, Kenshi's son, Takeda. Maybe not Sub-Zero as much, but other people in the Lin Kuei. Because, I mean, Sub-Zero was looking pretty old, too.
And you know, but Scorpion is kind of showing some age.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, I mean, he's...
Hanzo Hisashi. I'm not Scorpion! As he yelled so many times. Just as he harpooned the guy, yelled, get over here! Who else? Oh, so, you know, and we still got the Revenants. We still got, you know, Liu Kang, Kung Lao, gosh, these names. And Kitana and Smoke are all still the Revenants. And then we have Kotal Kahn, Reptile. And who else was with him? Oh, and Kano got away. Kano's still out there. So Sonya can't rest until Kano is put down. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was in the Outworld? I'm like struggling to remember. And from like what I've seen from the Mortal Kombat card game, there's like so many other characters I haven't even seen yet. Like maybe you unlock in the tower, or because I still haven't played any of the towers because I've been busy. But it makes me wonder like how many more other characters there are out there to unlock. And will they bring back Melina as a Revenant?
Yeah, but she wasn't by the pool, so...
That's true. But that doesn't matter. You could get some sorcerer, I don't know.
Yeah.
Always say a wizard did it.
Well, I mean, let's face it, this is video game lore. They can put in and change whatever they want.
Or what was that chick's name, Tanya?
Oh, yeah. I think she's going to be a character pack... combat pack character, if I remember right. She's coming in. To me, they did a really good job with the story. Frost, which, you know, tried to kill Scorpion, Hanzo, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, as somebody who had no idea who she was, she just like appeared. I'm like, who's this bitch?
And then Sub-Zero obviously freezes her, and he's like, fucking girl. That's what I took away. Yeah, this nice, she's a good person, but a little hot-tempered. I was like, no, he's basically giving that look like, fucking girl.
And he's still like, simmer down, honey. Simmer down.
Oh, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the next game. And I can also say, you know, because we're talking about them phasing out characters, right? And based off of, so there was a Northwest Regionals this past weekend, and they had MKX, and a lot of people played the kids. Cassie Cage and Jackie are both really solid characters.
They were my two favorite new characters, and I'm not saying that because they're girls. I'm saying that because they were awesome characters. They were very intuitive. Their attacks were fun. They were strong in the right areas, and it didn't feel like that they were trying too hard. Like, oh, they're girls, we got to make them, you know, badass. No, I felt like they were doing it in the right way to show like how girls would have the strength. Like, you know, like Jackie had the metal knuckles, mm-hmm. but basically, and plus the little grenades on her wrists, and you know, Cassie with, you know, emulating her father's split and the nutcracker and using her pistols to whip. I mean, I thought it was very realistic and very, very well done.
Oh yeah. And their shit talk is really good too.
It's, yeah, it's there. I mean, really most of them is pretty funny. Kotal Kahn's kind of boring from what I saw, but most of the kids I thought were very funny because, well, you know, they're kids, they're invincible. I've got to show off a little bit.
So,
like, who's someone I was talking to? They said their favorite character was Kung Jin to play with.
Oh, everybody and their brother plays Kung Jin because he has just this freaking crazy combo.
Okay, I guess I just never got my jam with him. Like, I got with Takeda a little more once I mastered using his whip. But
oh yeah, at the fighting game thing that I was watching last weekend, it was like, oh look, another Kung Jin. Oh look, another Kung Jin. Oh Jesus, we're gonna watch the same combo over and over. Oh, and
they're so proud they can do it.
It's fun. I mean, he's a fun character, but at the same point, I kind of think that we're gonna see him get a patch nerf. And I mean, his combos obviously aren't going to change, but his damage output, I think, is going to kind of change. But at the same point, the game is, what, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks old now? So, mm-hmm. I mean, players are still, you know, getting grasps on it. So. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there's, like, a differential, like, in between, like, the younger kids, younger players who have maybe not grown up with these the way we have. Because, you know, I... more attached to, you know, Sonya Blade or Sub-Zero, because that's who I grew up with, or even Raiden. But I can see, like, younger generation who didn't have all of those games that we did with all those characters, and they coming in and be like, oh, you know, because we don't have this attachment, we easily can go to some of the newer characters. Well, that probably some younger players, like, well, I don't mean Johnny Cage, he's got gray hair, and for fuck's sake, he's got his name tattooed across his chest. I mean, come on.
Classy.
Yeah, I was just like, this guy's a douchebag.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Black, I'm trying to master him. I really like him. I like the Old West feel that he's got and his guns and just how he talks.
Because it's Troy Baker.
So, yeah.
Did you know that Steve Bloom has two voices in this?
Nope.
He's Sub-Zero? Which you might have heard that because it sounds like him. Got that edge, the Steve Bloom edge. And he's Reptile.
Oh, I hate Reptile. Reptile talking just drives me insane. That fucking... You're just like, oh,
well,
God.
He's a reptile.
Get the fucking gum out of your mouth, dude. Just
at least they made him like a reptile versus, like, I was, you know, scanning in those instruction booklets. See, and they had Reptile in it. And let's see if I can pull it. And he just, you know, looks just like, I mean, he looks.
It was a palette. Like, it's a palette, color,
yeah.
Palette.
I mean, look at that. It's exact, like, Sub-Zero's right next to him, and they're exactly the same. Like, I even tried to do, like, you know, find the differences. Like, you know, those little kids' magazines. No, they're the exact same, just flipped.
Mm-hmm. You only really knew Reptile was Reptile on his fatalities. Because then
he's Shang Tsung. You see, there's another guy that's gone. Shang Tsung, yep. Personal protector. Reptile lurks in the shadow, stopping all those who would do his master harm. His human form is blue to disguise a horrific reptilian creature, which I guess is who we saw, whose race was thought extinct millions of years ago. Actually, the reason why they did a human face is because they didn't have the technology for it. And it was just easier to do a palette swap. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the true story about how, what's his face? Mario got his mustache.
Oh.
It was a coloration thing. Because otherwise they said you couldn't tell the difference between his face and his body.
Oh, technology, we've come a long way.
Yeah. And it's like one of the most iconic things, but that's where they got it. It's like the whole idea from Pac-Man came from his creator eating pizza. Someone took a first slice and he's like, wait.
He can eat dots and chase ghosts.
Well, actually, if you see it in a video game documentary, they talked about how he was trying to get girls into video games. And they figured in Japan what girls like to do is eat, which I was like, wow, okay. And they like sweet things. So he was trying to figure out like so something about eating and eating sweet things. And so that's where Pac-Man came from, because it's like a slice of pizza. Saw that face, like, okay, I could see that. Oh, and he goes around and eats like fruit and things. Girls will love it. Well, they did. So, and I've just like killed everybody's illusions about Pac-Man. Welcome you know, it's like I went to an art exhibit. I went to the Modern Museum of Art exhibit with this family friend who is an artist. Like he is a painter. He does murals and all this stuff. And it's hard to go with him to this stuff because, like, so we're looking at this one painting. It's like these three women, like, you know, in a circle, like they're dancing. And they're kind of going up. And at the top, their heads are bowed. And you listen to the little audio tape that tells you all about it. And they're saying that they're bowing to each other in submission. And he's like, nuh-uh. He ran out of the room at the top. So he made them duck their heads down. Like the other painting that has like all the paint drizzled on it, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. There's a handprint up at the top, and they said that's where he got close to his painting. He's like, no, he fell.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, you're killing the magic. He's like, what? That's true. He was like dangling paint sticks over it, and he fell. Like you can tell by where the hand is. He said that's how he does most of his murals. Like, he'll walk by and get green paint on. It's like, shit, leaves! And he'll just paint leaves. Like, why'd you paint leaves there? It just called to me.
It's called to me. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
Oh, so, other than Mortal Kombat, what have you been playing?
Well, I have been really hooked on the stupid card game.
Yeah, I need to fire that up and try it out.
It's free to play done right, and that I never feel like I need to buy anything, because the way it works is that when you first start, you're instantly given three character cards, and they're kind of like the first one, you get one silver card, which is like a main popular character, like mine was Johnny Cage, and two random other bronze cards. And then you fight with, and then you go through a series of towers. Like, it's like, I don't know how many towers are. There's so many. So you go through a series of towers, and as you fight through, you get coins with a K. And when you complete a tower, you get coins. You get lots of coins and souls, and usually a free card. And the cards, they can be different characters. They can be cards for upgrades for your character, like armor packs or equipment, accessories. Anything like that, and you use some of the gold cards. The gold cards, if you're going to buy those, require souls. It's really hard to get souls, and you get souls by, like I said, completing towers or doing the bonus missions of the day. Every time you log in, you get test your luck, where you draw a card, and then you get whatever that is. Sometimes it's coins, sometimes it's characters, sometimes it's souls. And you keep on playing, and the thing is, eventually your cards will run out of energy, and if silver and gold cards run out of energy much faster than the bronze cards, which is kind of crap because you want to play with the silver and gold cards. So you can either use a soul to get them back in energy, or you can just, you know, log out of the game and wait for about 10 minutes, which is usually what I do. I was like, I'm not wasting my souls. I'm saving my souls to get my first my combat card pack so I can maybe get either Kitana or Cassie Cage. So, so I've been playing a lot. So when you get new cards, and you have to re-level them up. So like, and you can switch out cards at nearly any time in the game. And when you do the battles, it's 3-on-3, and it's all, you know, finger taps and swipes, and you can block by, you know, two finger punches, and There's a little test your might. The Faction Wars is down. It's been down for a long time. I still can't connect to my WB account, and I don't know if it's because the Faction Wars thing is down or if it's internet connection in my house or the app just sucks. I see a lot of people complaining about the app. But I'm having fun with it. It's a great little thing because it takes me about like 1 to 2 minutes to play a tower. So it's a great time for me just to sit on the couch, like, in between dinner and laundry and whatever else I have to do, and just play like a couple of, like, you know, play through what one tower, switch out my cards, see if I got souls, see if I can buy anything, put it away, come back maybe right before bed. So it is addictive, but it's free. And you can, and how you spend money is that you can buy coins or buy souls. Which I haven't felt the need to do either one of those because it's just kind of fun to go through it. Like I just bought because I'm going to do a team girl squad. I'm going to get Sonya and Cassie and Jackie. So I just got Jackie and I put her in. And my Johnny Cage is already at level 18. So I went back and started like some of the lower towers. And as long as the cards are in your party of three, they will gain levels. Oh. So she's in there and I just use him in the earlier and I can beat everybody in flawless victory, all three people, because he's so powered up. And she just gets all this all this experience.
Oh, playing the system.
That's what it's all about, man, is playing the system. But there's like, you know, but some towers have different stipulations. Like this one tower that you're fighting against vampires, every single time they hit you, they take your life and gain life back.
Oh,
yeah, that. Yeah. There's the thing is, like, if you're fast enough with the fingers, it's not never that big of a deal unless you're severely underpowered. And then there's boss battles at the very, because like there's towers like for every like land, and before a portal, there's a boss fight at the end. One of the the final tower from the first level, you get Sonya Blade. Like she's like locked. She's not yours, but she's locked in there. And the stipulation is if she ever gets defeated, then you lose the entire tower.
Oh shit.
So it's like just so you have to know if she gets too low to switch her out with somebody else. But the thing is she's so overpowered. When she comes in, like, it was not a problem. Like, the only time I had to switch her out was at the final boss because it was against Kano. And he builds up energy so quickly, he could do the x-ray attacks and all that. So I would switch out with Johnny Cage because his nutcracker attack removes power.
Oh,
nice. So any power that gets stored up, you can, if you see that happen, just switch to Johnny Cage, do his nutcracker, and takes all that back out, and then I'd switch back in Sonya and have her clean up house. And when it's against a final boss where there's a rivalry, you actually get to do a fatality. So okay. Sonya got to do the fatality with Kano. But her fatalities are kind of, I don't know, like there was one I did that was pretty cool, but the one with her demolition stance is kind of boring. It's where she just shoves a grenade in the mouth and then summons in a drone and it slices off the arms and then the grenade blows up and his head goes and it's like, eh. Okay.
Not violent unique enough.
That's just kind of boring. Like, okay, maybe because she's old. I don't know. Like, where's your kiss of death? Which I think is a brutality. Like, all the cool stuff I think are brutalities now. Well, at least Cassie Cage has a couple of cool fatalities, like her selfie. So funny. The best part of the selfie is when she posts it to Facebook or whatever and all the comments that scroll through.
Yep. I love seeing that. Those crazy.
Like, what was one? Like, I bet he's not even dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And so I've also been playing some more Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, which is super fun.
Really?
Yeah. I'm having a blast with it. It's it's a stealth platformer, but it's not like a difficult platformer, right? It's barely a platformer. It's only a platformer is because it's 2D side scrolling. It's 2D side scrolling with some 3D elements because you can like come forward, go to another 2D, or go back. Mm-hmm. And so, and you have like, you know, your main mission and these other missions that you think you're supposed to do, but you can actually finish the level without completing all those other submissions. So you know, therefore you don't get the full synchronization or whatever, but it really does focus on the stealth part of it. You get graded through every little combat sequence, and depending on your grade, you get more, I don't know what they're called, but you get more points, and that's what you redeem to upgrade certain abilities. So if the ultimate goal is to go through everything except for assassination targets, be a complete ghost, never get alerted, and not kill anybody. Well, I say that's for pansies. And so maybe I'm a ghost, but everybody's dead. Like, maybe no one knows I'm there, but they're all dead. They're all dead behind me. Sometimes I'll get seen, but, you know, so I'll get like a lot of bronzes, not really a lot of bronzes, but I get mostly silvers and some golds, but it's, I mean, only if I notice that it's just not even worth trying to go back and kill them, well, I just leave them alone. And there was one guy I was like, I may not even be worth, you know, killing him. And then, but I did it anyway. I'm so glad I did, because in the end sequence, I could not have done with him still alive and roaming around. So I've played for probably about a couple more hours, and it really is a lot of fun. And the art style is fantastic. It's kind of like a watercolor, almost like the old Chinese paintings, almost style. So it kind of reminds me a lot of, what was that awesome game? Came out in Vita recently, Muramasa. A lot of kind of that art style. A lot of that. And yesterday, Broken Age Act 2 came out, so I played that for a considerable amount of time, and wow, I am rusty. Tim Schafer came out and said that everyone should replay Act 1 before doing Act 2, and I was like, whatever, dude. No, it's probably true, and it's not just because of the refresher, it's because Act 1 starts you off with the more simplistic point and click and puzzles and everything. Act 2 does not ease you into it. It is bam, like we're back. It's super complex. And oh, by the way, you remember that one thing you did in Act 1 that was 2 years ago? You have to remember that and come back to it and try to get that thing to do it again. And so it's taken me, I played for probably about 5 hours yesterday, and I haven't even finished the one of the character stories yet, because I'm going back and forth so much. Like, oh, I can go do that. And, you know, I go talk to this person again, see if something has changed. Oh, now it's changed. And
sounds like a very cumbersome game.
Well, I just kind of find the point and click adventures are after a certain point, because if you do things in the right flow, it's not cumbersome. But getting there to find it is kind of a pain. Like, I didn't realize, like, oh, I have to stand here and talk to this person and get him to do this and then look and. Okay. But maybe if I'd played the first act again, I would have been more in tune into that and remembered something. You have to do some of that kind of stuff, but regardless, that's where I am. Oh. And hopefully I can finish it today or tomorrow. So I got to get that review done. But what else have you been playing?
Let's see, more Elite Dangerous, more Marvel Heroes. I almost got Ghost Rider to level 60. I got like 4 more levels to go. So, then it's just a slog and a grind. Mortal Kombat, obviously. And then I picked up a game on a pure whim. It was like, it was Friday. It's having lunch, and Steam at right around lunchtime, they post up all their games that are on sale and new games that come out. And I saw Car Mechanics Simulator 2015. I was like, what? How is it? What? Okay. My interest has peaked. So I went and looked at it. And it's, you basically have a garage and you fix cars. And the point is eventually you can go to a car auction and you can buy your own car that you then have to obviously save up money to restore. And I was like, oh, this is like wrenching on my truck, except for I don't break my knuckles and I don't burn my arms on the fucking intercooler pipes. This looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I snagged it, and yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. For if you like to wrench on cars. And it's kind of like a puzzle game in some instances. So it starts out really easy. You have a garage, you have two bays, two lift bays. And obviously, you know, you take jobs. So you have a phone that rings and you get four jobs at a time. Two of them are usually outside of your XP level. So at first, when you start off, the car comes in, you go over to it, and it has a full list of everything that's wrong with it. So you just go to your computer, you buy the parts, go fix the car. So you basically take stuff off, put it back on, and send it out. And as you're doing it, you earn XP. So every 1,000 XP, you get a point to spend. So like I spent it so that way I could pull lug nuts off faster and I could pull parts off faster. My next one, it was like, okay, well, now I can scan. I can like diagnose cars a little bit faster. Uh-huh. And now I've got like a electronic scanner. And then I eventually spent money and unlocked a little test path. So now you can drive a car on it and it'll do things like diagnose the brakes. So what happens is as you start gaining more XP and all that, you start getting cars coming in that you have to start diagnosing the problem, right? So that's where things like your little test path, you take it on test path and it'll diagnose the brakes and the shocks for you. And, you know, you kind of start getting, after doing it for so long, I'm like, oh yeah, the tie rods are bad. I can see that. Oh, the spring cap is bad on that. But there are other things, like I don't have a engine scanner yet and I can't take it out for a test drive because I don't have the money to buy the test drive area. So,
aren't you fixing your truck in real life a lot right now?
Yeah. In fact, I'm getting ready to.
Why are you going to play a game about it?
You know what?
It'd be like working in DPS or DMV and playing Papers, Please.
You know, I have no idea what. I bought it on a total whim. It was $20. I was like, okay, I'll give it a try, right? If it sucks, it's $20. I just won't go out to eat for 2 weeks and call it a day. And I have no idea why it's so much fun. I don't know if it's because I enjoy working on my truck as long as it's stuff that I'm doing for fun and not actually things that I have to do to repair it. Like today, I'm going to install a fuse block and put my CB radio in and get all that stuff wired up. So, I mean, that's stuff that I want to do. Yeah, I don't know. You do a brake job once, you think it would get old, but I'm still tearing brakes apart and putting them back together. And I guess, I don't know. I was reading some of the reviews and they were like, I don't really like wrenching on cars, but I really enjoy this game because it's more like a puzzle, right? Like after you get to that point where you got to start diagnosing the things. So. Yeah. They're like, yeah, well, now you got to pull the whole engine. You got to pull off this part of the engine to get to the timing area to make sure that that's all in proper. Oh, that was fine. Okay, so what else? Oh, the fuel pump. Oh, I didn't even realize that we had a fuel pump. Oh, that's what's wrong with it. So, yeah. And, hey, let's face it. Virtually wrenching on cars is way better because, A, you don't bust your knuckles. You don't tear your hands up. And you don't break stuff while you're trying to fix stuff. So there you go.
All right. Sounds like a winner.
It's a winner. If you like working on that kind of stuff. So that's it. That's what I've been playing. And obviously I have to feed my cat because it's going crazy. So.
That's worse. Because I think I was logged into Steam and I saw you playing that. I was like, what the hell? Kind of like your reaction to somebody playing Assassin's Creed Chronicles. Kind of like, what? What are you doing?
Oh yeah, when Megan came home and she saw me playing it, she's like, "Are you working on a car?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm. Right now, I'm changing the brakes because the pads are bad and the knuckles bad." She's like, "You're working on a car? Did you just go?" Are you on your computer playing a car mechanic game that you go to a computer in that game to buy parts online? I was like, yeah, what's so odd about that? Oh, and now I can buy a tablet so I can buy the parts right at the car. Fantastic.
Wow. I shouldn't judge. I mean, I was talking like for the last 15 minutes about a stupid card game. So,
on your phone.
No, no, I don't have an iPhone anymore. It's on my iPad.
Oh,
if you're gonna mock me, do it right.
Excuse me.
Although, if it was actually out on Android, I would so play that on my phone. Although one thing I'll say about the game, though, it makes my iPad run really hot. I think it's because of the graphics. Just really push it. It'd probably kill my phone.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. Fucking casual.
That hurts, man. I actually play the real Mortal Kombat.
I know. But you just went on for 15 minutes about how great an iOS game is.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Fucking casual.
Hey, you can call me that if I ever buy a Mortal Kombat pinball game, okay?
Deal. I will start calling you fucking casual Blake. That's where we're going with that.
Yep.
So before we kill each other, take us out.
Also, if either one of us buy a Mortal Kombat pinball game, we should put the other one down.
That's exactly. We should make a pact right now.
Okay, we'll make a pact, and then I'll put it on Twitter and seal the deal.
Okay.
And make sure to tag Twitter, Blake into it. That's right. Okay, so now we're done talking about card games and pinball. Leave us a comment on this post if there's anything that you would like us to specifically talk about. You can email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. We have a Twitch channel at twitch.tv/strategyguidereviews.
I started working on it, actually.
Oh, so
I'm working on getting a layout, overlay, and some icons and all that kind of stuff done, and the little biography part at the bottom. So.
Oh, sweet.
Starting on it.
I'll have to go check that out. Maybe I can stream more Mortal Kombat X card game. No, I'm kidding. No, that sounds like it takes way too much effort. Okay, you can also follow us on Twitter at Starvin. I'm at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. Follow us on Twitter so you can watch us make this pact about Mortal Kombat pinball. And of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR as we do our best to come up with strategy guide stuff. And I will get to Pillars of Eternity eventually. Work's just killing me. And Witcher 3, oh God, I just can't.
Just cry.
I can't adult, Chris. I just can't. It's too much.
Adulting is hard.
It is hard. It's overrated. No one told me to be this hard. I need beer in my coffee.
You think you need something stronger than beer?
Yeah, but then I'd take a nap.
Well, you know, middle of the day nap. Siesta.
This is true, but I got too much to do. So with that, you got too much to do? Let's go. See y'all next time.
All right. And we're out. Peace.